previously on Groom Under Fire.
I don't want to put you in any more danger.
Listen to me. You're not putting me in danger.
Yes, I am. By marrying you, I am.
I've survived 3 deployments. I'll be fine.
Your family worried so much when you were gone. If something happened to you now...
It won't.
If you're sure.
I'm sure.
Okay, then. If you're certain you'll be safe, I'll marry you.
Your grandfather did not trust Cooper Payne.
He what?
He warned the boy years ago.
Did he try to buy off Cooper, too?
He just pointed out to him that you were out of his league. The only reason you're marrying him is because your real groom conveniently disappeared.
Do you take this man to be your husband, Tanya?
I do.
And do you, Cooper, take this woman to be your wife?
I do.
Tears of happiness burned her eyes, and she furiously blinked as she tried to clear her vision. Finally, she realized that it wasn't tears of emotion, but smoke that was blurring her vision. The church was on fire. The asthma that had haunted her childhood flared again, choking her. Usually it only acted up in the spring with seasonal allergies, but smoke had always been her biggest trigger. Now she stood on her wedding day, gasping for air, as her inhaler lay in her purse upstairs. She would never make it that far before passing out. Before dying.
What are you doing? Let go of my arm!
Just do it. Pronounce this man and wife.
I now pronounce you... man and wife!
She shouldn't have been exposed to that gas.
Is she going to be all right?
Tanya recognized the voice of her husband. But was he actually her husband? She dimly remembered the minister pronouncing them man and wife. Then Cooper had swept her up in his arms. Or had that all just been part of her fantasy? Was any of it real?
She's breathing now, right? Please tell me she's going to be okay.
We'll know when she awakens.
If not for the beeps and buzzes, Tanya would have thought she had slipped into unconsciousness again. She was awake, though. Her eyes were just too heavy to open, her throat too dry and achy to speak. She struggled to move her fingers, but she was so weak, her muscles so leaden, and appendages so heavy.
I'm sorry. That's all I can say for now.
A big hand closed over Tanya's fingers as she struggled to move.
Come on, Tanya, wake up. Please.
She tried again to raise her lids, but they were so heavy. The effort exhausted her. But she gained a small space, enough that some light filtered between her lashes. She was fighting back the blackness.
Tanya, can you hear me?
She had to be strong. Not just for herself, but for Stephen. She couldn't take a ransom call if she wasn't conscious. Then Cooper marrying her would have been for nothing. She had to assure him that wasn't the case. So she concentrated on her fingers and managed to move them within his tight grasp. She bent her fingers again, wriggling them. Then she managed, finally, to open her eyes.
Don't. Just rest.
Is everyone okay? Did the fire...
There was no fire.
With the smoke.
It wasn't fire. Someone opened a tear gas canister in a church.
Was anyone else hurt?
No one else was hurt, only you.
You found my inhaler in my purse?
It wasn't there.
I don't understand. It was there earlier. Who would do this?
We're going to find out. I'm just glad you're okay. You need to get some rest.
No, I need to get out of here.
You're too weak. It's a miracle you survived all that. You weren't breathing for so long.
If they call...
Logan has your phone. He'll take the call.
They might hang up. If they don't hear me, I need my...
real groom.
Cooper finished her sentence for her, but he was wrong.
We'll find him. We're all working on finding him.
Is she awake? Is she all right?
Yes, I'm fine.
Tanya was touched at Cooper's sister's concern, but also disappointed that it was not her own sister coming to check on her. How had their relationship fallen apart so badly?
Is your mother okay?
Worried about you? But she's fine. None of us thought you were going to make it.
If that was the truth, where was Rochelle? Didn't she care about her older sister at all? Perhaps Tanya needed to own her part in their falling out. A relationship took two people to make it work, after all. Maybe she had never tried hard enough with Rochelle. She had been so busy with work and with trying not to think about Cooper, with trying not to worry about Cooper overseas, with trying not to miss Cooper.
She has no clue how close she came to not making it. Even now, she's more worried about Mom and Steven and everyone else than herself. She needs to get some rest.
She needs you to stop talking about her like she's not here.
I forgot how long you two have been friends. You act like an old married couple already.
All right, let's go, Nikki. Tanya needs to sleep.
I'm glad you're safe. Get some rest.
Sleep claimed her. She had no idea how long she had been out before the door creaked open again.
That was fast. I hope you didn't hurry on my account. Did you find Steven?
She fought hard to drag her eyes open again, but she only managed a little crack. Just enough that she could peer between her lashes and see the pillow coming toward her face.
Nikki, did you find anything?
Just that she drunk emails like she drunk dials. I'm sure it didn't mean anything.
What didn't mean anything? Did you get into Steven's email? Nikki, come on. I know she's your friend, but you need to be straight with me.
Okay. She sent Steven some emails. She was begging him not to marry Tanya. She said that if he left Tanya at the altar and married her instead, he would get all of the inheritance instead of just half.
I cannot believe.
She would be so embarrassed that I saw those, and especially that I told you. She was probably just drinking when she sent those.
Drinking? Or just greedy? What does she want all the money for herself?
I didn't think she wanted her grandfather's money at all. She hated that old man so much.
Maybe it's not the money she wants. Maybe it's the man.
You think she's using the money to lure Steven away from Tanya?
I know she's your friend, but put all that aside for a moment. Look at the facts.
I know. I always felt bad for her growing up in Tanya's shadow.
What do you mean? How much does Rochelle really resent her? I mean, enough to try to kill her?
They always had a pretty bitter rivalry. I don't know. I mean, I know she can be a brat sometimes, but I don't think she's capable of this.
What about Steven?
She's always had a little crush on him. She was pretty jealous of Tanya these past few months.
Yeah, and that's a second motive. Love and money.
I just don't think she would do something like this. But you're right, the motives are there.
Why hasn't that person in the scrubs come back out? You'll be safe here. Nobody followed us from the hospital.
What if they followed the others?
Then the plan worked.
The plan had consisted of Logan leaving the hospital with one of his female employees, who had worn a blonde wig, and Parker had left with Nikki, who had also been wearing a blonde wig. Since each of the men had worn the same ball cap, they had looked nearly identical except to her. Cooper was the most muscular and handsome, but someone else might have been fooled.
Will they be safe?
They're all bodyguards. They can protect themselves.
You're not worried about them?
It's not my job to worry about them. It's my job to worry about you.
Is that what she really was to him? Not his girl. Not his bride or wife. Not even his friend. She was just a job. He joined her on the couch and held her face in his hands. Her skin tingled at his touch, and her pulse raced with his closeness.
You're fine, physically. But emotionally?
Had he just realized that she was falling for him? Was he about to give her the just friends speech again?
I am emotional, but it's because I'm worried about Steven, about your family.
What she didn't say was that she was most especially worried about him. But admitting that would make it clear to him that she had fallen for him. And he would probably not only be appalled, but offended that she didn't think him capable of protecting himself and her.
I'm worried about how naive you are.
Naive? You think I'm naive?
This has gone beyond stalking, Tanya. Someone's trying to kill you. And that person actually nearly succeeded.
What aren't you telling me? Just spit it out, Cooper. I can handle it.
I think there's been no ransom call because Steven can't make his own ransom call.
Wait, what?
Why are you laughing?
I would sooner believe you were trying to kill me.
You don't believe Steven can do this? You could actually believe that I would try to kill you?
We've been in the game a long time. I don't know you anymore. I know Steven. We've stayed friends all these years.
Obviously, you've been more than friends.
Steven's always been there for me.
Until the wedding.
That wasn't his fault.
I'm not sure about that.
How can you even think like that? You saw the blood, the signs of a struggle.
If there was a struggle, why didn't you or Mom hear it? You know, we don't even know yet if that blood we found was his.
Now you're saying that he hurt someone else?
I don't know anything for sure. Maybe it was his blood. But he also could have drawn some earlier and sprayed it around the room.
Why would he do that?
So you would think he was dead or hurt?
He wouldn't do that. It wouldn't even occur to Steven to do something like that. You're the disillusioned one now.
Well, maybe he wasn't acting alone.
You think he hired someone?
I don't think he had to hire someone. I think your sister would gladly have helped him for free.
Rochelle? You think she hates me that much?
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to upset you. Maybe I'm just suspicious of everyone. You know, I know I've become cynical, but there is enough reason to believe it's a possibility.
Look, I'm not so sure about Rochelle. Maybe she does hate me enough to kill me. But if you're trying to tell me that Steven's changed, I know him too well.
Did he tell you about all the emails Rochelle sent him? So, he didn't tell you.
That doesn't mean he was hiding them. Maybe he didn't want to cause any more trouble between me and Rochelle. I can't imagine those emails were telling him how lucky he was to be marrying me.
No. She didn't want him to marry you at all. She wanted him to marry her for all the money.
And that's why you think they're working together?
All is more than half. It's a powerful motivation, you know?
Not for Steven. He doesn't care about the money.
Everybody cares about money, especially that amount of money.
You seem to care about the money more than anyone. Maybe grandfather's lawyer is right. You wanted Steven out of the way so you could marry me yourself.
Tanya, I'm not after you for the money, okay? If that's what you think, then I should just leave right now.
He doesn't think money is your only motivation. He thinks you have a crush on me.
I did.
He wanted her to trust him. But if he was being completely honest, he shouldn't have used the past tense. Because he definitely still had a crush on her. One so big that he maybe should have even called it love.
If he was right about that, was he right about my grandfather warning you to stay away from me?
It was more of a threat than a warning. He was right, though. We had nothing in common then. You were going off to college, and I was going off to the Marines. Maybe it was smarter to never get involved than to get involved and break up.
Why would we have broken up?
We had nothing in common then. And we have less in common now.
Are you sure about that? You want to protect people as a Marine and now a bodyguard. I want to protect people too. That's the only reason I ever wanted my grandfather's inheritance, to help more families than the state's limited budget allows me. He's only ever wanted to control me, to control who I date and what career I pursue. But I'm not as easy to manipulate as you must have been.
Your grandfather didn't manipulate me.
Well, he got his way regardless. Just like he's getting his way now. Getting me to marry for his money.
So, he's definitely not getting his way. Look, Tanya, none of this is your fault.
I don't want to believe it's your fault either.
Well, do you?
No.
I see your fear. You may not want to believe it, but you're worried that your grandfather's lawyer could be right about me, huh? Look, I'll call one of my brothers to take my place.
No, don't.
Logan! Logan! Damn it! Are you all right?
What's happening?
Logan!
The weasel got away again.
Jesus, you scared me. Did you see him?
Not his face. Had a hat pulled low, sunglasses, and his collar pulled up.
Could that have been Steven?
Same height and build. Could have been.
Mm-hmm. Are you all right?
Yeah, I'm fine. But the hotel will be pissed over the windows of our suite getting shot up.
Yeah, seems to be this guy's M.O.
Coward. The police are already coming. They probably won't be surprised to see me again.
Good luck. I'll call Parker.
Wait, it doesn't make sense that Steven would do this. He has money.
People with money never seem to think they have enough. Your grandfather was certainly never satisfied.
But Steven, it makes no sense, especially now. We're already married. Why keep trying to kill me?
If you listen to your lawyer, then I'd probably be doing it till I can collect your inheritance myself.
But Rochelle could challenge you, since our marriage hasn't been consummated.
What?
She doesn't even have to kill me to collect her inheritance. All she has to do is wait until tomorrow and challenge our marriage.
Wait, what do you mean?
If we don't consummate our wedding before my birthday, she could challenge its validity.
And then she and Steven can marry and collect it all?
Yes.
We can lie. I mean, we can say that we consummated our marriage. I mean, how is she going to prove that we're lying? Aren't you a good liar?
She had never been, until that day she had agreed with him that they could have only ever been friends. He was the only one who had ever believed her lie.
According to my sister, no.
Rochelle hadn't believed that Tanya was in love with Steven. She had realized that she only intended to marry him to collect her inheritance.
I would lie to Rochelle, but I couldn't lie to a judge if my sister challenges us in court. For my job, I've had to testify a lot, and if it was ever proved that I committed perjury, all those other cases could be called into question. I can't take that risk.
Then, look, what do you intend to do? If I'm right about Steven, you don't need to inherit to pay his ransom.
There has to be no demand. If you're right, Rochelle and Steven will get all the money.
Not if we can prove what they've done.
Can we prove it? Are those emails even enough to bring any charges against them? We would need more. Evidence that we might never find.
I know you care about your job and all those people. You really want that money for them, huh?
So badly. I can't let Rochelle collect money that could help so many people that need it.
I want to protect you, Tanya.
Then make love to me. Consummate our marriage.
Make love to me? He couldn't have heard her correctly. He must be daydreaming. But he was hoping like hell that he had heard her correctly. Desire rushed up, choking him.
What did you say?
You heard me.
I heard you, but I don't understand you.
I feel like that was a pretty clear sentence. If Rochelle challenges this marriage in court, I won't perjure myself.
He wanted her, but he wanted her to want him too, as more than a means to an end.
So you want to sleep with me despite your sister?
To stop her from getting what she wants, the money.
Well, what about Steven?
If you're right, and they're in on this together, she can have him.
What if I'm wrong? I mean, We didn't find any reply to her emails from Steven, so maybe he's has nothing to do with this, any of it.
I don't know what I want to believe anymore. If he's working with Rochelle, at least he's alive. He's just a snake, but he's alive. If he's not working with her, then where is he?
We're still looking for him. Parker's in touch with all his old contacts, you know, from where he worked at Vice.
Vice? What would that have to do with Steven?
Parker's informants are the streets, so they hear things. They see things.
And your brothers are out there, too. I'm sorry. Sorry for all the trouble I've been. I shouldn't have asked you to...
make love to you?
I know it wouldn't have been making love. I know we're not really married.
The minister pronounced us man and wife, so... we actually are married now. I made him do it before we left the church, so... I recognized the kind of smoke. I didn't think we were really in danger. But then you stopped breathing.
And then you saved me. Did I thank you for that?
I don't want your gratitude.
I know you're just doing your job, but it's my life you keep saving. I can't ask you for anything else. Forget what I said. I just need to be alone for a little while.
Wait, just wait.
Just as he had 12 years ago, he grabbed her hand, pulling her close to him with his other hand brushing lightly across her chin. Then his lips brushed across hers in a nothing kiss, a mere whisper of breath and warmth.
But she wanted more. She reached up, closed her hands around the nape of his neck, and pulled his head down again. And then she kissed him back. The passion she'd had for him over a decade ago had been a young girl's passion. What she felt now was a woman's passion, hot and deep and overwhelming in its intensity. She kissed him with all the heat burning inside her.
First, he was tense against her, but then he groaned, and his arms closed around her, pulling her up against him. His tongue pushed against her lips before sliding between them, sliding over her tongue.
You have no idea how long I've wanted to do this.
She moaned as the kiss and his words overcame her. She sucked in a breath at the heat of his touch, and her skin tingled everywhere. She waited for his hands to move, to slide up, and finally they moved toward her breasts, tracing the underwire of her bra before undoing the delicate gold clasp between the cups. Her breath escaped in a gasp when he touched her breasts.
Cooper. Cooper.
She tensed, worried that he had changed his mind, that he was about to say that he didn't want her. But he unsnapped his jeans and pushed them down, and his underwear. And he proved he wanted her very much. His erection jutted toward her. She reached for it, but he caught her hand and lifted it over her head.
Oh, no, not yet. This will be over too soon.
Instead of rushing, he took his time. He lifted both arms over her head, which had her breasts arching up as if begging for his touch. He touched, first with his hands caressing her skin, then with his fingers. He teased her nipples, pressure built inside her, unbearable in its intensity. She squirmed on the bed, pushing her hips against his. That thin strip of lace separated her from his flesh. Then he touched with his lips, skimming them over her skin before closing them around a nipple. She arched off the bed and moaned.
Cooper, please.
He kept kissing her, moving his mouth from her lips to her breasts. He teased her before moving his mouth even lower on her body. Finally, he pulled off that thin strip of lace and tossed it onto the floor with the rest of their clothes.
She clutched at the edge of the couch as he made love to her with his lips and tongue. Sensations raced through her, releasing that intensity. She was trembling, but she wasn't the only one. His arms shook a little as he braced them on the bed and covered her body with his. She reached between them and closed her hands around his erection. She parted her legs and guided him inside her, arching up as he thrust. He was was big, so big that she stretched and filled her. But somehow they fit perfectly. She locked her arms and legs around him and matched his rhythm. They moved as one. The pressure building inside her, she could feel in the tension in his body, the tightness of his muscles. A groan slipped out.
He reached between them and pressed his thumb to the most sensitive part of her. Within seconds, an orgasm shuddered through her body with such force that she screamed. He joined her, pulsing and pumping inside her. And another groan tore from his throat with such force it would probably leave his voice hoarse. He collapsed on top of her.
She welcomed his weight and heat. She'd felt so alone and cold for so long. But then he rolled off her, taking away his warmth, and his body filled with tension again. Was he already regretting what they'd done? She had no regrets, except that it was already over. She wanted to do it again.
Listen.
Come any closer, and I'll blow your head off!
Don't shoot your favorite brother.
Jeez! Parker, get out!
Okay, I'll wait outside. You want me to grab you a pair of pants?
Out!
Let me go see what's going on.
And they say I'm the playboy.
I'm not a playboy, man.
That's right! You're a married man now.
And you're a damn fool.
A damn fool that tracked you down.
How?
I have my sources.
Have they turned up, Steven?
Nothing.
Then no offense. But why are you here, Parker? Are you just bored?
Yeah. I didn't get sent undercover with a girl.
Nikki's a girl.
She's my sister.
You two didn't get shot at?
We didn't get followed. Logan, on the other hand...
Well, neither did I. So, why did you track me down and blow out a hiding place? I mean, and a better... You know what? Better question? Why on earth did you pick the lock and open the door?
I heard screaming.
Maybe you're not the playboy everyone thinks you are, if you've never heard that kind of scream before.
I've never had any complaints.
At least you dated polite women.
You're funny. I've forgotten how funny you could be.
Why are you here?
Mom. She wants us all back at the church, thinks we'll be stronger together than all split up.
I'm not against that, but why the church?
Since the little tear gas bomb changed her plans for yesterday, she wants to have your reception today.
Yes, it's a little late for that.
It's not too late for Tanya's birthday party.
Did you make a wish, dear?
I did. I can't tell, though, or it won't come true.
She glanced up, and her gaze fell on Cooper. She had wished it was real. Sure, they had consummated their marriage, but they hadn't made love. At least he hadn't. She was in love, but she was in that alone. She didn't know how she would ever face Parker after overhearing their conversation. She was mortified. And now here was Cooper, her lover, staring back at her like they were just acquaintances. Her heart ached with disappointment.
Come over here, Cooper. You two need to cut this cake together. Ah, it's such a shame that the wedding was ruined. You should be in your tux and gown right now.
But we're not, Mom. So there's no reason to cut cake or whatever other nonsense you have planned.
Weddings are not nonsense. They are tradition. They are a foundation that needs to be laid for a long and happy marriage.
Listen, Mom, you know I'm not the man Tanya was supposed to marry. This isn't real.
But it needs to look real. People need to believe this is real.
Here, have a taste.
As she licks her lips slowly, sensually, Cooper lets out a faint groan. His skin tingles from the slip of Tanya's hot tongue, and his heart pounds in his chest with desire.
But suddenly, Tanya realizes what she tasted wasn't his fingers or red velvet cake. It was peanuts. Or peanut oil. Didn't matter which one. Either was dangerous enough to kill her. She didn't carry just an inhaler. She carried an EpiPen, too, but it hadn't been in her purse when Nikki brought it to her. And now she knew why.
Mom, did you put peanuts in the cake?
Of course not. I know she's allergic.
Call 911.
Here, use this.
Rochelle, why do you have that?
I have the same allergy. I can't have peanuts.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear. I'm so glad you didn't have a piece of that cake, too.
Take it, Cooper. She can't breathe.
Isn't that what you want? Your sister out of the way?
I don't want her dead. Do you?
I'm okay. I'm okay, really. I don't need to go to the hospital.
You're going. Here, let me lift you up. Put your arms around me.
Whoever keeps doing this knows me too well. It can't be someone from one of my cases.
It actually could be. Or at least, that's what Nikki's here trying to convince me.
Stalkers are relentless. I've studied them in my psych and criminology classes. A stalker will usually go through their obsession's trash. Some savvy ones hack into their obsession's email.
You'd rather think it's me than a stalker?
Rochelle, no, of course not. Giving Cooper that EpiPen, you saved me.
Well, then tell me why I had to force Cooper to use it. He thinks I want you dead.
Don't you?
Huh. You really hate me.
No, you're the one who hates me. And I don't know why. What did I do?
It's what you didn't do, sis.
I don't understand.
No, and you never bothered to try. You were just like Mom.
What's that supposed to mean?
She was obsessed with Dad, no matter how big a louse he was. And you're obsessed with a boy.
Rochelle, what are you even talking about?
Cooper Payne. You were obsessed with him then. You're obsessed with him now. I saw how you were looking at him back there. You wanted to eat him instead of cake.
Tanya blushes with embarrassment and pans the room anxiously before finding Cooper across the room. Thank God he's out of earshot.
She would have been safer if she had. Jeez, Rochelle, someone's trying to kill her. Someone's trying to kill your sister. Can't you get over her not paying enough attention to you when you were young?
Look, I'm really sorry, Rochelle. I should have made more time for you.
It's just not fair, you know.
What's not?
You're so beautiful. You get all the guys.
That's not true.
You had Steven, and now you have Cooper. He's the one you really want. What did you do to Steven to get him out of your way?
You actually think I would hurt Steven?
Absolutely. You've never felt about him like you do about Cooper. You probably agreed to marry him to get the money because your birthday was coming up and Cooper wasn't back, but then he suddenly appears and poof, Steven is conveniently, for you, missing.
Are you drunk?
No.
Were you drunk when you sent Steven that email?
Which email?
Oh, great. Were there more? I'm talking about the one where you beg him to dump me and marry you in exchange for all your inheritance.
It didn't work! You took Steven for granted all these years, but he stayed loyal to you. He stayed true to you. Too bad you can't say the same.
What do you mean?
Oh, come on! It's so obvious that you're sleeping with Cooper.
What?
So I can't give Steven all the money anymore. You've consummated your marriage before your birthday. Congratulations. No, you'll be able to claim your half of grandfather's money, and hell, you'll probably wind up with all of it. Great.
Rochelle, do you really not know where he is?
Why would I know?
You've obviously been in contact with him.
Not since he disappeared. I sent him those emails before that.
The last one was the night he disappeared.
Please, you were the one who found those emails, and instead of coming to me, you went to her? Wow, I thought you were my friend.
Of course I am. I told my brothers I'm just trying to help find Steven.
Why are you even involved?
Because I'm working a case. Someone's been trying to kill your sister. Are you not processing that?
And you all think it's me.
What's going on here?
What usually happens when I try to talk to my sister? She winds up hating me more. Now I've given Rochelle a reason to actually hate me. I accused her of trying to kill me.
You accused her?
Not in so many words, but she picked up on the suspicion.
I am suspicious of her.
I'm not. Not anymore, anyway. She was too hurt. I hurt her for no reason.
Sometimes the best defense is a strong offense.
You are always so suspicious of everyone, Coop.
You need to be. Now, I need both of you to try not to get killed for an hour while I go check out something.
I'm going with you.
No, not a chance in hell.
What are you so determined to check out?
Parker got a lead from one of his informants.
Well, what if it's a trap?
That's exactly why you can't go along. I want you safe.
I want you safe, too.
I told you this is what I do. What I'm always going to do.
I know.
He leaned down to give her a kiss on her forehead, but she lifted her face so that his mouth met hers, and she kissed him with all the need burning inside her.
Tanya.
Please don't go.
I'll be fine. I promise.
Cooper usually listened to his gut, but he didn't let the warning twisting his stomach into knots stop him from moving toward the warehouse. It was probably just Tanya's nerves that he had picked up on. Or it was his nerves over leaving her alone. He wished he and his brothers hadn't split up now, but someone had to cover the front of the building while he snuck around to the loading docks in the back.
You see anything?
Nothing yet.
Nothing over here either. Not even a door.
I think I found a way. There's a ramp back here with some rusted locks. I think we can smash.
Wait for us.
Shit, my jacket got caught in the nail. But wait. Guys, I found something. The car.
The car?
The car. The one that tried to run Tanya down.
Don't move. I'm coming.
I'm just going to see if I can get into the trunk. Guys, I'm in. There's nothing in the trunk, though. Wait.
What is it?
There's something wet in here. But I can't tell what it is.
Coop, I told you to stay put.
Oh, my God. It's blood.